First of all, I just wanted to share a story that I heard last night at the Shiva. We went to give food at the Shiva of this tzaddik who, Moshe, actually, maybe you know him, the guy who takes the extra food.
I don't do it.
Other guys, he takes the extra food and he gives it to poor people. So he's a real tzaddik, and his father unfortunately passed away. So we went to go to a Shiva call, but he told me like two really inspiring stories about his father, and I told him I'd pass it on to Ilu Nishmato. So one story he said about his father was that he was a very sensitive person, and he loved to like run to shul, go fast to shul, but there's one time him and his father were going, and he was walking very slowly, Moshe's father. So Moshe asked him, why are you walking so slowly? He says, you don't see right ahead of us, there's a guy and his feet aren't so well, like he really can't walk fast, and maybe he was injured or something happened to him. And if we walk fast, it's going to make him feel bad because like he can't walk as fast. So that was the type of person that Moshe's father was. He was very sensitive. And it reminded me of the Chafetz Chaim story where the Chafetz Chaim is eating dinner with, I think, Chanan Wasserman, they say. And then he says that the Rav Chanan Wasserman said, the salt, it's too salty. And the Chafetz Chaim said, no, Lashon Hara. And Rav Chanan Wasserman's like, what, it's Lashon Hara? You know, it's salty. Whatever. So then afterwards, Rav Chanan Wasserman saw that the boss was screaming at the cook and saying, you know, how could you make such a salty, you know, how could you oversalt for the Chafetz Chaim? He's such a big gadol, how could you oversalt the food? So, obviously there are certain times in life when there's a toelis and you have to tell, you know, someone that the food's not good. But in general, if it's, you know, sensitivity, you have to recognize the value of your words. And that's something that in this week's Parsha we see in a sad level, because Yaakov Avinu, he speaks words about Rachel. He said, whoever, you know, he tells Laban, if you find the idol, that person should die. And according to the Midrash, that's why Rachel died, because of the curse, so to speak, of Yaakov. So we have to be very careful with our words, very sensitive to those around us. This is something that the Chafetz Chaim is always talking about, the power of words in his Sefer. And there's another story that Moshe told about his father, which also reminded me of a Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim is cool.
His father
is not the Chafetz Chaim, but maybe they were connected. So his father apparently was an extremely humble person. Like, he literally lived in one room, a tiny little room like this, with no shower, because he just showered in the mikvah, no laundry machine, because he just did his clothing in the mikvah. Like, you know, whatever. And he lived like this, like in the olden days, they tell these stories. Like the Chafetz Chaim. You know, also they say that Chafetz Chaim didn't have he had a dirt floor, and in Mamish, nothing else. Had a bench to learn, and that was it. and in that room, like a bedroom, like with a little curtain. Like, he really, and he asked him why, and he said, because this world is just passing through. This world, he didn't take the physical comforts so seriously. This world is just passing through. Don't get too stuck up on the physical comforts, just like Moshe's father. And Moshe's father used to tell Moshe the same story all the time, they'd say. He'd say there was a man, and he wrote a will to his children, and he said, in this will, only read it when I pass away. So when he passed away, they read it, and in the will it said, please bury me with socks. I want to be buried with socks. So they said, okay, it's weird. My father was a weird guy. But they went to the Chevra Kadisha and they said, my father asked to be buried with socks. And the Chevra Kadisha said, no, you can't. The halacha is you can't be buried with any clothing. That's not the halacha. And they were arguing, going back and forth. And eventually the Chevra Kadisha said, no, it's against the halacha. We're not burying him with socks. And they buried him without socks. So now there's a second letter, which the father asked should only be read after the funeral. So after the funeral, they open up the letter. What does it say in the letter? It says, you see, my children, even when you die, you can't even take your socks with you. Even your socks are not going to come with you. And that's the idea that this guy, Moshe's father, lived, that to be happy with the simple things, to be appreciative of the simple things, like Yaakov Avinu begged, the bush, food, Anything, nothing else you're going to take with you, just mitzvahs and mice and toiv and everything else. You know, it's good. Good muster. One last idea. So, this week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu has a dream in Beit El. But the Torah points out that Beit El is actually called another place. What else is it called? Luz. Excellent. So Luz is a place. So now, this is fascinating. Kabbalistically, Luz, anybody know what else Luz is associated with? So you hear about this? So according to the Kabbalah, I think the Mishnah Berurah writes this in Simon Shin 300. He says that when we die, the Luz is going to be the only bone. It's a bone in the back of our neck. And that's the bone which we're going to be resuscitated from the Luz bone. It's going to all start from the Luz bone. Okay, so this is a weird puzzle. We got the Luz bone in the back of our neck, and that's what we're going to be resuscitated from, and that was Beit El, where Yaakov had this dream. So what does any of this mean? So I've heard this idea in a lot of places, but in this book I have Windows to the Soul. It's actually a really cool book. It's called, like, on psychology and Torah. So if you guys ever want to borrow it from my makom, you're very welcome. Thank you. I wrote it by Bernstein. So he suggests the following. He says that Luz represents the connector. In other words, you have the head, which is like the intellect, the soul, and you have the body, which is like the physical part of your man, and the neck is the connection between the spiritual and the physical part of you, right? And Yaakov Avinu had a dream in Luz, in Beit El, about the ladder. And what's the whole idea of the ladder? That there's a connection between the heaven and the earth, and that's mankind, through our deeds. On the one hand, we have to do physical actions, but our soul, our intentions have to completely be in Shemayim, and we are the connect between heaven and earth. So that's when Yaakov discovered that it was in Luz, and Luz is the connector between the spiritual and the physical, and Tchiyat HaMetim is the connection between the spiritual world of Olam Haba and the physical world of this worldliness. It's the connector, again, right? And the Malava Malka, the Luz bone, according to the Mishnah Berurah, only gets satisfied from the Malava Malka that you eat. When you eat a Malava Malka, the meal after Shabbos, that gives like nourishment to the Luz bone, says Mishnah Berurah. So again, the Malava Malka is the connection point between the Shabbos, which is all Kedusha, and the weekday, which is Chol. We need to have some sort of connection between them, and that's Malava Malka. So I thought it was a pretty cool connection ideas. But anyway, on the Maisa level, I thought it would be appropriate to share this because now that we have longer nights after Shabbos is ending earlier, we actually might have an appetite to eat a little bit of Malava Malka. And it's considered a really, really big thing to just, they say it's not important as much what you eat. Ideally, you should have bread, and if not bread, mazonos, but if you're not hungry, you shouldn't. It's whatever you enjoy. So you should have food you enjoy. And they say hot food is good, or just something that's special. But more importantly, they say it's the ambience that the Malava Malka that you create. So you should put out a tablecloth, Hasidic masters say. You should put out light candles if you can. Sing some songs, say some gedolim stories. And the main thing is to eat together with friends. They say Malava Malka, if you eat it together with friends, it's considered a big segula to starting out your week right. So if there's nothing else we get from the whole Luz story, it's just to strengthen ourselves in this inyan of eating Malava Malka. I remember once I got called up, and it was a Saturday night, and somebody called me, and I didn't really want to talk right then. So what did I say? I said, I'm on a date. So what did I mean? I had a date with Hashem. Called the Malava Malka. Because what's the pshat of Malava Malka, says Rav Shlomo? That you're with Hashem the whole week, the whole Shabbos. And then you want to say goodbye to them, to Hashem. But it's like when a husband and wife, they're at an airport, and they say goodbye to each other, they love each other, they give each other a hug, and then when they're walking away, they look back for one last glance, and their eyes meet, and they come and hug each other again. So that's the union of Malava Malka. We were together the whole Shabbos, and we're kind of about to walk away and go into the weekday, but we're always looking, then we have one last glance back, and we go on that last date with the Kadosh Baruch Hu called Malava Malka. So we should all have an amazing week. Also, if anybody knows any guys who are